Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this is the last of this year's Summer Shorts series, where we revisit some best bits, highlights, and previously unheard footage in bite-sized podcasts for your summer listening. This week, as we look forward to the Radio Academy Festival 2025 on the 17th of September, let's look back at last year's festival with the theme of Impact Amplified. We'll hear from Ben Coley, who was chatting to Scott Mills from BBC Radio 2, and to Arlene and Boogie from Fourth One on the ARIA's winners stage. Lizzie Pollitt from Acast talks to Sharon Badu about grassroots podcasting on the Impact stage. But first off, we'll hear from the festival stage, where Juliet Nichols asked Radio 5 Live's Matt Chorley and Rima Ahmed from BBC Radio Leeds if they felt they had achieved what they wanted to in their session.
I think I just wanted it to sound like Matt and I were having a conversation, which we were.
Yeah.
We had certain clips that we had to play, but that is very much my style of broadcasting, is I never want it to sound like I'm sat asking someone questions and not listening to the answers, which I hear so much of. And it really, there's nothing that makes me more furious than listening to a conversation happening on the radio that doesn't sound like a conversation. It sounds like someone has been written a cue and they have questions that they need to ask. And it doesn't matter what the other person has said, they are going to come back and ask question number three. And so to do that in front of people and, you know, really bring a style of broadcasting to a stage, because that is exactly how I would have talked to you on the radio.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a really nice thing. And so if there is one thing that I would like to bring to the Radio Academy, it's just that sometimes you're not trying to get a line, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you're not trying to be the cleverest person in the room. You're just having a conversation with someone that you're really interested in.
I suppose what I liked about it was the sort of conversation. I suppose the conversation was a good reflection of my show and therefore me. And we talked a bit about having a radio persona, or how much do you give away, or your approach, and had I changed going from Times Radio to Five Live? And I don't think you can, because I think listeners over, well, I'm now doing 2 hours, used to do 3 hours, you do 4 hours. To fake that, or to have a sort of persona, I think would be exhausting. And so hopefully...
And you'd be sussed out so quickly, yeah, as well. But listeners, the listener is always so much on it than you think that, yeah, they are. So trying to pretend to be someone else is a bad idea.
How do you connect with audiences?
Well, I think part of it is that you are growing up with them. But then sometimes I meet people who say, I used to listen to you at school, then I listened to you at college, then I was at uni, then I got married, then I got divorced, and you're still there. And then you realise that you actually are more of a part of people's lives, and that you've soundtracked it more than you realise when you're doing it. And I also think that content-wise, I find that I'm a bit of a sponge for things like that, which is probably how I lasted on Radio 1 for so long.
Well, Radio 1, you were just like, pop culture was just ingrained in what you were doing.
Yeah, and my brain is a sponge for that stuff because I love it. And actually, I still, in a different way, but I'm still keeping in touch with it. I know what's going on, but it's just a little bit different and for a slightly older audience. Yeah.
You touched on something really interesting in your talk, and you were talking about finding your voice on BBC Radio 2. What does that look like for you? What sort of work and preparation do you put in to be able to sound like you've been part of the fabric of a station for years?
I love to prep, and I think every presenter should. Some presenters can get away with it, like Chris Moyles doesn't prep, really. Mm. Really. His producers do. Brylan, my friend, will quite openly admit that he can just turn up. I'm not one of those guys. So prep is key. But then I think when I joined Radio 2, I was over-prepping.
Sure.
In a way of like, Scott, you don't need to write everything down. You've done this a long time. You know, don't write it out word for word. But also, confidence grows. And my confidence, as it did at Radio 1, has now, it's been long enough time that my confidence has grown at 2, where I feel able to be my authentic self. But you've got to give yourself a break, because it does take time.
What is it that you love about the Radio Academy Festival as a presenter? What does it do to bring the industry together?
Well, do you know, I was actually at the TV festival in Edinburgh this year, which I'd never been to before. This is our version of that, because when do we all get together as one? There isn't any other thing that I can think of. You can be here even an hour and learn so much. I would advise anyone that can, even if you're established in the industry already, you will find out things just from being here an hour or two that you did not know, and worlds in radio that you did, or audio that you did not even know knew existed. It's absolutely fascinating.
Arlene and Boogie from Fourth One Breakfast, who won the best music breakfast show at the Arias. What are your top tips, tricks, hacks for creating a breakfast show that has an impact for an audience?
From my perspective, I think the thing that really connects with an audience is honesty. And if you can be really open and honest about what's going on in your life and about stuff that connects with the audience, that makes a massive difference. So I think in terms of content, the stuff that really flies and works really well with our audience in particular is normal, mundane stuff, the stuff that everybody has to deal with on a daily basis, you know, and it, you kind of go, yeah, I'm feeling like that, or I've done that.
It's relatable.
It is relatable, and that's really important. It's finding the stuff that means something to the audience that makes the difference.
I think another key part of it is longevity, and it really is, and it can't be sort of overstated. We've been doing the show together for 16 years. I've been on Fourth One for 21 years on The Breakfast Show. And, you know, that kind of heritage, you can't buy that. Yeah. And that you can't fake it either. You have to let it grow. And actually, for presenters, there's not much you can do about that. You've got to find a job that you love and stick at it and hope that the bosses stick with you. Yeah. And we've had quite a few bosses over the years, and we've been very lucky that every time somebody's come in, they've thought, OK, this is a good show, we want to keep it. But, you know, at any point, that could have been, you know, somebody could come in and say, right, I don't like that show. I want to do something else, more music or whatever. And we'd be back at square one, you know. So longevity is really key to building a real trust with the audience and a connectivity, because they know you inside out. You know, people know things about me that I've forgotten about myself. Do you know what I mean? We've had things like going on in our lives. We've had divorce. You know, we've had health issues. I've got Crohn's disease, which is the least sexy thing in the world to talk about on the radio. But, you know, people understand that. I had an operation, and, you know, you talk about it all. You've got to talk about everything. But you can't get to that stage too quickly. And if you try to rush it, it wouldn't feel right. You've got to slowly build up the trust, and then eventually you get to the point where you can say anything, and you've got the credit with the audience to take them on the ride with you, you know?
From your point of view, how do small podcasters set themselves up for impact and growth?
I wish there was one easy answer to how to grow a podcast, because there isn't. I think that it's about being consistent, first of all. So defining a strategy, whether that's around, you know, your social media or around PR, or around the content itself, and being very consistent with it. I think some of the best sort of like podcasts which have grown big from what you might say grassroots have become that successful because they've just been very dedicated, very consistent, and they put the hard work in. Even if you have one listener, don't forget that that is adding value. You know, I've had a podcast before which got very few listens, but there was one friend who's like, oh, I look forward to it every week. And I thought, well, if that's making that person's week. But obviously that's not what everyone wants here, because, you know, people do want to grow and they want to build an audience. They also want to make money from it. And the podcast industry itself is very community minded, and there are loads of people out there in the same position as you. So do get involved, you know, meet other people, network, go to events or go to masterclasses, meetups, because you'll realize there are other people with the same challenges that you can learn from as well. The first thing is to just focus on growing your audience, and everything else should follow, because that should just be your sole focus first. You know, thinking about the marketing strategy, thinking about, you know, have I got the best cover art to represent my show? Have I written the best descriptions for SEO purposes? I think if you focus on just growing the listeners first, then the rest will come slightly more easily.
I hope that's whetted your appetite for the Radio Academy Festival this year. Check our website for the latest festival details for 2025 World of Sound. There's lots on there all about the sessions on the day, the hosts, and the lineup of guests. And if you haven't got your tickets yet, then you can book them on there too. Go to radioacademy.org. And don't forget our amazing one-to-one opportunity. If you're coming to the festival, then book yourself a session with an industry expert to get careers advice, tips, or even pitch an idea to them. All the details are on our website. Our next Foot in the Door event has been announced in Sunderland on the 15th of October at the University of Sunderland, partnering with Sunderland's community station Spark. It's £6 for members and £12 for non-members, but that does include £5 off any future membership. Head to radioacademy.org/training to book your place. Next week, we go back to full podcast episodes with the story behind the success of Fix Radio. I'll see you next week.